American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum Microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters. Walters.
And doing it with a fine Hamilton Gordo cigar from Liberty Cigars. Wow, great stuff. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Carr Firearms Group Studios. Mark Walters filling your prescription for freedom today and every day here in this program in this hour in front of the Sig Sauer Platinum and Powerful microphone, busting out on hundreds of radio stations around the nation from the Patriot Mobile Communication Center. Bud's Gun Shop, our online partner, budsgunshop.com, is presenting this hour. X Insurance presents this program in its entirety 6 days a week. You can find all of our partners at armedamericanradio.com, and we'll mention some of those throughout this hour with the great Neil McKay. But before we get started, Greg in Dallas, Tejas, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Woundaba, would you tell people where they can watch this show in beautiful high-definition video as long as they're not driving, and give them all the ins and outs and do's and don'ts about the chats and all that fun stuff, if you would?
Sure. If you want to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you're going to see the menu icon. Just give that a slap, and when that window opens up, you can select that watch live option. If you're driving, hit that listen live link. And if you've missed any previous episode of this program, head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join our live chat, all you have to do is head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
Oh, I'm enjoying this cigar.
Were you not ready?
Nah, you're a little bit too quick. This is wonderful stuff. The great Neil McCabe from Parts Unknown, really from Boston, who's losing his Boston accent, as you can tell. Of course, Neil is with redstate.com, redstate.com. Neil McCabe, how are you, my friend?
Hey, fantastic, Mark, and happy Cinco de Mayo, though I have mixed emotions about this day. I'm thrilled that it's your birthday, but I believe that celebrating the victory over the French army in Mexico on Cinco de Mayo is a mistake, because the Emperor Maximilian, he was the right man for Mexico, and frankly, I think Mexico really missed an opportunity by revolting against such a great man.
Well, as my niece famously pointed out today in an Instagram post, she's happy they won because we have Cinco de Mayo.
Well, there you
so
go.
There's that.
And then, followed by 200 years of revolution and poverty.
Well, okay. Well, there's that. You know, she's just looking at drinking margaritas and eating tacos and stuff. So from the fun standpoint. You know, and it's made my birthday fun ever since I can remember, right? So it is a fun birthday, Cinco de Mayo. And everybody remembers it. So, oh, your birthday, Cinco de Mayo. I've got a good buddy whose birthday is December 7th. It's really hard for me to forget his birthday. Ty, if you're listening, Happy birthday to you on December. Yeah, we talk back and forth all the time. Haven't seen him in years, but it's a fun birthday to remember.
Yeah, it's rough. My niece, Frances, also has her birthday on December 7th, and it's
It's fun because I can remember the birthday. It's easy to remember because of the date. It is the day that will live in infamy. So, Neil, let's talk about something very disturbing today. So disturbing, in fact, that this is all I got for you. Now, I'm sure we'll be able to take the conversation, because it's you and I. We'll go a million different directions. But if you look at the drugged report, and let me just jump over there real quick and see if it's still up. Let me refresh. No, they've changed it, but that was about an hour ago. It's been up all day. And here's what the headline was, ladies and gentlemen. 41% of Americans believe civil war inevitable. 41%. Now, where did that number come from? Well, the Daily Express US is what reported it, theexpress.com. Shock survey reveals huge number of Americans see another civil war within 5 years. Where did they get the information? It was a Rasmussen report, who conducted a national telephone and online survey, which revealed 41% of likely U.S. voters, Neil, think a second civil war is on the horizon, with 16% saying one in the next 5 years would be very likely. On the other hand, 49%, quoting from the piece, of participants did not believe a civil war in the next 5 years is likely to occur. Now, they don't go into detail if they think it might be 10 years, et cetera. And 20% responded, not likely at all. That's a very low number, 20%, not likely at all. It also showed, Neil, that it's a partisan issue. When I found this interesting, with 37% of voters agreeing that a civil war is more likely to happen if Joe Biden is reelected this year, by comparison, 25% saw the conflict being more likely under Donald Trump, and 30% said it would not make much difference who the president is. Let's talk about this, Neil. This is daunting stuff.
Yeah, and I will tell you that there's a great professor and scholar at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Michael Vlahos. It's V-L-A-H-O-S, V-L-A-H-O-S, Michael Vlahos. And he has said for years that the Civil War is already on, and that it hasn't played itself out in, you know, massive armies facing each other on a battlefield, but basically the forces of red and blue are already sort of going at each other in different ways. But I'm very sensitive to this. I've talked about it before on the show over and over again, and a lot of my thinking is coming from this scholar from Johns Hopkins, but also my own reading of history and sort of the life that I'm living, right? Because
you feel it.
You're younger than me, but we've been through a lot of the same sort of cultural events, and we remember what it was like back in the day, like growing up in a, you know, my childhood didn't seem so innocent when I was in my childhood, but looking back, I can't even believe how simple life was compared to what kids are going through today.
Oh, boy, there's a show right there all in and of itself. You could talk about that just with the phone. I mean, I could go into, you know, dirt clod fights and stealing my little sister's bike with the sissy bar on the back. Remember that? I don't even know if you can call it a sissy bar anymore. Somebody's going to get all froggy on you. But we used to ride the wheelies without helmets, and we used to build jumps and ramps and see how far we could go. We'd try to jump over basements that were being dug. We all made it home. There were no cell phones. Mom and dad, if it got dark, they called the neighbors, and eventually you were sent home. And we all wound up just fine.
You
already, cap guns, sure.
You used to love the smell. You didn't even have a cap gun today. And it's like, you know, taking, you know, putting a baseball card in the spokes of your bike with a clothespin, and people are like, well, what's a clothespin?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, you mentioned your thoughts on this were because you're in tune with history. I am as well. But my thoughts on it really, from a historical perspective, you can go back and get really deep. Human history proves where we are in this country. And, you know, people have asked me all the time. We've talked about it on the show before, Neil. You know, how did we get here? Well, the answer is simple. There's not a lot of science to this. It simply took 240 years for our government to corrupt itself to the point that it has corrupted itself, period. We happen to be living in that time. And we, as this generation and the one before us, have allowed it to happen. But I'm not looking specifically back at history, even though I could take you back to the 1840s and the 1850s. I've done that with the Crime Against Kansas speech many times on the broadcast, as the nation was barreling towards civil war from the early 1850s up into 1860 when it all cut loose. But I'm talking about my gut feeling, just my gut feeling because of what I'm living, like you mentioned, Neil. And, you know, you mentioned the red and blue are at each other's throats. Yeah, wow. And when you said that, the blue and gray, right? Are we there?
Well, what's happening is that the government in Washington, D.C. is looking for an excuse for the big clampdown. And they thought they almost nailed it with January 6th. Planned it so much as they allowed it to happen, but certainly there are agitators there who had nothing to do with Trump. I mean, believe me, they've had 2.5 years to prove there was some connection between Trump and those guys with bullhorns and the guys crashing windows. And so
you're just a January 6th denier. You're just a January 6th denier.
Yeah. So let's just say, but the fact that the FBI would be paying people $500 on freelance, like basically for everyone they can identify on the videos, and just going after everyone. It is their excuse for the full letter of the law, for zero tolerance, for a total government response, pushing the advantage to every place. I mean, the leading opposition leader to the regime is facing four trials right now. And if you told me this was Bolivia, I would say, of course.
Neil, hold that thought. When we come back with the great Neil McCabe, three more segments. We're going to dig into this. It's a fascinating topic. It's a frightening topic. Personally, I believe it's one that we have to talk about. Maybe there are some preparations you need to make. We'll be back. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Don't forget to use the promo code AAR at MyPillow.com. Welcome back. Well, I am thoroughly enjoying this Liberty Hamilton. It is absolutely beautiful. So you guys need to check that out, LibertyCigars.com. Don't forget, use that promo code AAR. $76 get you that Lafayette cigar tossed in for nothing. And that's worth it. Trust me when I tell you that. Don't forget all of our partners here, Carr Firearms Group Studios, Sig Sauer Microphone, Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center, the Patriot Mobile Phone right here in my hands here in the studio, and Bud's Gun Shop. Make sure to check out budsgunshop.com. X Insurance has you covered in all aspects of your life, everything. Talk to them. You need coverage, need your guns protected, need your freedom protected, need your home protected, your toys protected. X Insurance has you covered. AmmoSquared.com. I'm up to 120 rounds already. It was that simple. I just signed up for the weekly deal, been about $15, and boom, the ammo is already accumulating at AmmoSquared.com. GoatGuns.com, BarrelBuddy.com. Pitch the patch, clean your guns. Two swipes, boom, $14.99. $14.99 for those little barrel buddies, and keep your guns clean. You can have your guns cleaned by the time you leave the range. It's that simple. No more patch, no more mess, no more stink, no more fuss. Heaven's Harvest, emergency food supplies, and other survival gear. Do you have what you need? After listening to this conversation for the remainder of this broadcast, you might want to head over, like I've done many times in the past, to heavensharvest.com. And just be prepared. You never know what's around the corner. If what's going on in this country on campuses is any indication, and you know it is. It's all by design, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to want to be prepared. HeavensHarvest.com has you covered. More about the rest of our partners coming up. The great Neil McCabe rejoins us for the remainder of this hour. Neil, welcome back in, my friend. So, you know, obviously.
Very good to be with you, sir.
Yeah, we got cut off at the break and stuff, but I'll let you continue if you want, or I can move in a different direction, but I'll turn the mic back over to you. We did get cut off at the break. I'll let you continue on.
You know, I just wanted to make the point that, you know, that this conflict is really being foisted upon us. You know,
is it
nobody's
real?
Really asking.
Is it real?
Oh, it's absolutely real. And what the left is looking for is that excuse, that moment when they can hit the reset button and sort of remake this Constitution or our understanding of the Constitution. And, you know, you have a lot of people, you know, a lot of people complain on the left about sort of like the politicization of gun owners and gun rights. Well, that wasn't always the case, right? Most, right. You know, hunters are Democrats and Republicans, and growing up, guns wasn't always a political thing. They made it a political thing, but that's just not the way. You know, the greatest defender of gun rights on Capitol Hill is John Dingell, who is a Democrat from Michigan. It's, you know, that's just the truth. That is the truth. And so it puts us in this situation that we don't want to be in, and we just get pushed and pushed and pushed, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what games they pull, you know, to stop Trump from winning the election.
Let's go back to just some media headlines, because media headlines,
yeah,
when you study the media like you and I do over many, many, many years, decades now, you see these patterns develop. And I like looking at narratives forming. like when I look at a what used to be a conservative outlet, now I refer to it as the Drugged Report because it's such a joke. But you can see the media narrative forming. Prior to the Civil War headline was bird flu scare. It was clearly just another trial balloon because you're starting to hear this in the media now. Look, they want another pandemic. So they're trying to gin this thing up now. They've already got you in masks. They did. They thought they did anyway. They normalized that nonsense to a point where students or agitators, combination thereof, on college campuses can hide their faces because it was normalized to do so. Now, the cynic in me says that was done by design so they could do this later down the road because they normalized wearing a mask. Now you can hide your face. And when you see the media narratives forming on top of that, how can you believe anything otherwise? It's no longer crazy to believe this stuff. How do you know that, ladies and gentlemen? Because you feel it in your gut like I do. And Neil, you know as well as I do that your gut instinct is right 99% of the time, brother. These are frightening times.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to get crazier and crazier because what happens is when a regime is losing its grip, that's when it starts bending the rules and that's where it starts pushing the edges. And that's, you know, it, you know, you see it all the time in history. You know, it's a, you know, it you saw it in the last days of the Soviet Union. You see it in the sort of the last days of when the, you know, when the Democrats, you know, when Newt Gingrich ended Democratic control of Capitol Hill, they were doing all sorts of tricks and all sorts of things. And so you're seeing in redistricting.
That was child's play compared to today. That was child's play compared to what we're seeing today.
Yeah, and so what we're, you know, we just have to see this thing play out. The problem is that in history, it doesn't go backwards. So there's a guy named Ben Wattenberg. He worked for President Johnson. He was considered a conservative Democrat. And after Johnson left office, he became a columnist and a political sort of pundit guy. And he used to run these polls every year on do you support, right? Saluting the flag, you know, like all of these kind of things, right? It was like, and it was always like 99%. It was all this stuff. And he would, there were all these, it was like this consensus. And he was always talking about, and he would go every year he'd print out his poll saying that our Americans agree about this, you know, and then, but that's not true today. And there's all this stuff, you know, should you stand for the national anthem in your classroom? And now people are saying, should we have a national anthem? And not the Pledge of Allegiance, rather. Should you have to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Right. There was one girl in my high school who frankly was mentally ill and came from a very troubled background. And one day, she showed up at school. She had spray painted her boots with gold spray paint, and she decided not to stand for the national anthem. And she was doing it for attention, and she was doing it to be a jerk. Next thing you know, the Boston TV stations are interviewing her, and she's like standing up for civil liberties, right? It's, you know, but everyone would say, well, everyone agreed that she was being a jerk. Today, national anthem. I mean, as Pledge of Allegiance, excuse me, standing for the Pledge of Allegiance? Do they even have the Pledge of Allegiance? Do we even have flags in our classrooms? And if there's a flag, what flag is it? It's,
Let's talk about the flag when we come back, Neil, because we're getting ready to take a break. But I want to go to the flag when we come back. It's a great place to segue, because we saw the North Carolina frat brothers defending an American flag against a group of commies, terrorist sympathizers and supporters wearing Hamas garb, throwing things at them that could have hurt them. And they were standing in literally in harm's way, having stuff pelted at them, being flipped off, called all kinds of rot gut names by fellow Americans who hate the fact that they were trying to keep our flag from touching the ground here in the United States while sounding chants of death to America. We'll be right back.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Daniel Defense is freedom, passion, and precision, something the Democrats know absolutely nothing about. Car Firearms Group Studios lit up with you. Mark Walters in front of the 6 hour. Mike, filling your prescription for freedom. Now a week into our 16th year already. Unbelievable. Patriot Mobile Communications Command and Control Center lit up for you. Bud's Gun Shop is presenting this hour. X Insurance bringing the entire program to you every single day. Neil McCabe, welcome back to the program. My good friend, it's always a pleasure to have you here, brother. Sorry for the breaks interrupting us, Neil, but it kind of works that way on radio.
Hey, it's a hard clock. That's the way it goes.
It is a hard clock. You understand that media stuff, my brother. You get that media stuff. Before I go in another direction with you, during the break, I'm sitting here thinking about some other things, and I get to a point, you know, I got to go back to my gut feeling for just a second, Neil, before we keep moving on here, because I don't like what my gut is telling me, okay? And I don't like fighting my gut instinct either, because I've learned over the years, hey, dude, your gut instinct is usually right. Follow it. And I don't like what I'm feeling. And I know I'm not the only one. I've talked to people on both sides of the aisle over the last few years, Neil, and others are feeling the same thing. The mere fact we're even having this conversation, the mere fact it shows up on websites, that it's out there now, that there are polls by legitimate, like we're talking Rasmussen here, asking this question. What does that say that the question is even being asked as the subject of a poll?
Yeah, well, I think what's happening is that we're pushing them. They are pushing the moment to its crisis, and that, you know, most sort of regular Americans, they're just, you know, they just want to listen to their gun radio show on a Saturday night before they go to bed. Right. They want to go to work in the morning, and wherever they work, whatever, it's the farm or the ranch or the store or the office building or wherever they happen to be, you know, they just want, you know, on Monday morning, they got to hit the bricks and they got to push through till Friday. And then Saturday they get a break, and then Sunday they go to church and the cycle begins again. And then there's another group of people who they don't like the idea that the regular Americans are going to take this thing back. And there's a lot of very troubling things going on in the economy that are being ignored. You have office buildings. There was one office building in St. Louis 10 years ago. It was sold, you know, for $200 million. And last week it was sold for like $10 million. So that's like, what, $190 million that was sitting on the books at some bank that is now gone, right?
Shouldn't it be $300 million?
Or whatever that number is. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, it should be higher, not lower, is my point.
No, yeah, and with inflation, right? Normal growth, right? If you're supposed to increase the value of that thing at 10 or 20% a year, and, you know, you have malls. Malls were a phenomenal thing when they
existed. Back when we were kids.
And so not only are malls, like, you know, dead in the water, but those are leases. There's leases on those stores. You know, the store closes. Well, that lease doesn't go away. There's parking lots, there's lights, there's, like, you know, it's like there's security, there's property taxes. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going bad, that's going the wrong way in this economy, and it needs to be taken off of the books. And they're being kept on the books because right now they don't want people to know just how bad things are. So they tell us, oh, the numbers are fantastic. They tell us all the time, if the American people knew how great the economy was, they wouldn't be so afraid. They wouldn't be so upset. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm just a clown who's paying $6 for a dozen eggs that cost me $2 like a few years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just the idiot. And they say, well, you know, gas was never just $2 a gallon. It was actually $2.25. Hey, I'll take 225 over 350. And it's like, and then it'll spike to 450. And I just sort of, I'm just supposed to just eat that up.
You just take it, Neil. Just take it.
And so what's happening is, I'll give you another example. So the Federal Reserve was floating this economy for the last, 15 years. One of the things they were doing is they were buying the government bonds, the federal government bonds that China and Japan and the Netherlands and England, nobody buys our bonds anymore. And then they started buying up the corporate bonds. And so what that does is when you buy a bunch of bonds from AT&T or General Motors, you take that paper and you put it in a box at the Federal Reserve, and then you give cash to General Motors and AT&T. And so by buying up all this paper with cash, you then print the cash to pay for it all. And so there's all this cash floating out there.
Yeah.
And so the Federal Reserve owns these bonds they're paying. Right. Let's say the for 20 years, interest rates are fairly low. So let's say their bonds are paying like 3%. They have 3%. Well, the Federal Reserve raises interest rates to say 5%. All that paper that they've been buying for the last 15 years, that value is going down. And so there's a thing called mark to market. And I know this is getting down the crazy road, but I'll just finish this. Mark to market says, instead of holding something until it's sold, what is its value now if you had to sell it right now? That's what the government regulators call it, mark to market. If you had to sell what you own right now, what would you get? If you had to do right now, the Federal Reserve is underwater, like $300 or $400 billion, because we're buying to raise interest rates to control inflation, but that meant their portfolio that they were using to create all the inflation is sitting there, and so that has not yet come to pass. That has not been resolved, and so basically, the Federal Reserve has to sit on this stuff for another, 10, stuff that all these bonds have to come to terms because they can't sell them for a loss. And it's like, so everyone on Wall Street knows the malls are going under, the office buildings are going under, the Federal Reserve is underwater. And so people are selling their homes in Florida because they can't afford the insurance. People know how bad it is. It's just everyone is trying to hold on until Biden gets reelected. And if Biden get reelected, then they can sort of hang on and print enough money and make everything, maybe they can keep the party going. If Trump gets elected, he's going to clear the decks. And there's a lot of very wealthy people who are going to get crushed because Trump isn't going to play these games. And that's what they're afraid of, because they can't control Trump. They need to hold on with Biden before people find out that we have literally a ghost economy.
And meanwhile, and ladies and gentlemen, they want your guns. Ask yourself why. Now, you want to get back into the interest rate deal briefly. There, the Fed just last week holding interest rates high and telling you everything's great and blaming inflation on private corporations who they claim are intentionally inflating their prices, when in reality, it's the federal government. But that's a whole different program. When we come back, Neil, I want to go back to the flag and those kids and where we're at and what Americans need to be prepared for. What, and I'm not talking doom and gloom. Maybe I am talking doom and gloom. I don't know. That might come out in conversation. I don't know. But Americans need to be prepared for what is coming. What is coming? We don't know the answer to that, ladies and gentlemen. But what I want to ask you to do is to trust your gut instinct. Because your gut instinct is generally right. Something bad is coming down the pike. But what is it? I don't know. I can't sit here and tell you how it's going to manifest itself. But I can tell you one thing. It ain't going to be good. It ain't going to be good. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast continues. We have one final segment with the great Neil McCabe. I apologize for having to bring this topic up for you today, ladies and gentlemen, but I didn't bring it up. It's already making news, however you define news. We'll be right back.
following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back indeed. Final segment of the second hour of the program today. Mark Walters here in the Carr Firearms Group studios with you. Sig Sauer, Mike lit up. And so is this Liberty. And this thing is wonderful. It's just, the timing is perfect. Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center fired up for you. Bud's Gun Shop presenting this hour and X Insurance presenting it all. Again, please visit all of our partners that make this show possible. Now in our 16th year this week, our first show heading into 16 years. It's been quite the run. And we couldn't do it without our partners, and we couldn't do it without you. So support them. That's how we get this done. It's very, very important, particularly when you hear conversations like we're having with the great Neil McCabe right now. Neil, let's go back to you on this.
Mark, I know I'm interrupting you again. But,
no, that's fine. Go right ahead. It's why you're here, brother. My life easier.
That's the Hamilton? Is that part of the Commander series, or what series is that, the Hamilton?
Yes. See, you know. Yes, it is. And I'm got the Hamilton right here. It's the, that's it right there. It's absolutely beautiful. It's perfect timing, too, by the way.
I know John Adams, the founder of Liberty Cigars. Mm-hmm. I met him through a friend of mine who
great
I worked with at Project Veritas, and who now works for John. And he's a guy who really, I don't think he intended to have a cigar business at all. He just wanted to have a cigar hobby. And he enjoys making the boxes. A lot of the boxes he makes himself.
He makes all of them by hand.
And so I'm wondering, it's like I'm thinking to myself, is it just for the cigar? Does he just like enjoying, if he makes a decent cigar, that is the excuse to have an exquisite box? It's
maybe
a fascinating company. He's a fascinating man.
Well, I'm glad he decided to do it, because I'm really thoroughly enjoying this one. I will tell you that right now. And others that I have. And I have that Washington in my hand here. And ladies and gentlemen, this thing is ginormous. It's absolutely beautiful. I held it up against my arm. It's about the size, length of my forearm. And, I don't have enough time to fire that up right now. But I can find time over the next day or so. I can promise you that. So, Neil, let's go back. Let me read from Di in the chat. Whatever is coming down the pike, Americans need to stay armed, store ammo, food, water, meds, and pray. Not necessarily in that order. Prophetic words from Mom, from Di Primo, the mother of Brad Primo, who you normally hear in the next hour, who you will hear in the next hour in the roundtable. But while those are wise words, it's very daunting to have to say that, right? But it's true. That's what your gut is telling you. And that's something that I've prepared for years and years and years. I have plenty of food. I have plenty of ammo. And I forget who it was asked the question, if you can't buy a gun tomorrow all of a sudden, are you prepared? What will you do? So these are the questions that we have to ask ourselves now. And when you look at these kids, let's tie these back to the North Carolina fraternity brothers. They're great American kids. And in fact, the GoFundMe hit over $500,000 in support of them. What does that say? Their GoFundMe hit $500,000 just to throw a party that, sadly, I understand from hearing from some of these kids that might not be able to get their hands on all that money. But nonetheless, it says a lot. It says there's a lot of Americans concerned about this. What does it tell you when you see young Americans do that? And then the KJP box checker in chief up there in Washington, D.C. at the press corps saying, oh, well, what they did was admirable. Remind you, ladies and gentlemen, she speaks on behalf of the president of the United States. Meanwhile, the left wing media makes these quote unquote protesters out to be, oh, they're just college kids. They're not. This is a Marxist movement. What does all this say?
Well, I'll tell you right now, a lot of these people who are on those campuses are not students at all. They're either recent graduates who have plenty of free time because they just, they got a Renaissance poetry degree and they're not yet working full time at the Dunkin' Donuts. A lot of those people
Renaissance poetry. It's true.
A lot of these people are very highly trained, highly professionalized organizers.
Trained by
and they
who?
Go to. Well, some of them are. You know, when I was in Somerville, Mass, by Davis Square near Tufts University, there was a basement of the local Methodist church where the radicals would hold classes, right? And they would teach these guys how to do stuff. When I was at Project Veritas, we had somebody underground in Antifa. There were two academies, two different academies that we have access. We had tape of. One was in Brooklyn. One was in Portland, Oregon, where they learn how to fight with cops. They learn how to do some basic self-defense. They learn how to swarm people who are giving them trouble. They learn basic things on how to, like, if a cop is apprehending their friend, they know how to come up and sort of strike the cop's arm in such a way so that their friend can break free. These aren't like spontaneous demonstrations. These things are organized. These tents came from somewhere. All of the tents are the same. There's the same model of tent, right? Somebody delivered 50 tents to Columbia.
Oh, sure.
Like
sure.
That just, you know, they, you know, before these things happen, pallets of bricks show up, right? So that people have plenty of things to throw. And so this is where we're at. It's,
All right. So you have a minute. What do people need to know? What's the takeaway?
Well, this is it. The question is a great question that you asked just now. What would happen if you could not buy a gun tomorrow? Do you have what you need now? If you couldn't buy ammo tomorrow, do you have what you need right now? It's almost at the point where you say, hey, if you couldn't access your bank tomorrow. Now, we used to talk about this, accessing your bank because of a power storm, or the computers are down, or there's a blackout. But now they just flick a switch and they say, we're just going to debank you. Oh, we decided to close your account. You'll get your money in 3 weeks because we don't like your politics. That's true. That happens. I know someone, Laura Loomer, a very good friend of mine, she can't have an Uber. She can't have a Lyft. She can't have a checking account. and she's not the only one. Like, there are plenty of companies that are getting debanked. There are plenty of gun stores that are getting debanked. And so, we got to ask ourselves, you know, if you found out tomorrow that you were boxed out, are you ready? And people have to spend the next week and the next month. That's my advice to everyone. Is figure out what you need for when they throw the switch on you. And do you have cash? Do you have cash equivalents? Do you have ammunition? Do you have all the weapons you need? Do you have all the weapons that you thought you needed and you just put off? Well, they might not be available tomorrow.
Yeah, and there's a reason, ladies and gentlemen, that they don't want you to have these things. There's a reason that your federal government, weaponized, is doing its level best to keep you from having these things. Very, very important conversation. It's a frightening conversation. There's no question about it. We didn't bring it up. I simply brought up a Rasmussen poll, and we decided to talk about it today for the hour. It's scary stuff. Neil McCabe, thank you for everything that you do. You can read Neil over at redstate.com. That's redstate.com. Encore of Armed American Radio's, it's the roundtable from last week, I believe, coming up in the next hour. I want you to stay safe. Enjoy your day. Think about all these things we talked about today. And we'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Enjoy your day, guys. Thanks for being here.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.